Well, on January 1st of 2019, this year, a movement started. It was a revival of sorts. It spread across this nation and really around the world. And many, many lives were changed and have been changed and are changing because of this. And households are being turned upside down as well. In fact, you may know about this. You may have even specifically been impacted by this. I'm talking about the Netflix release of Marie Kondo's Tidying Up. Oh, it's big. It's big. Any Tidying Up fans in the house this morning? Like, you'd say, hey, you've watched the show and you have taken it hook, line, and sinker. Got some of those in the room today. If you've never seen the show, it's pretty amazing. Marie Kondo has this very unique system that she uses to help people bring order to their chaos in their homes. And if you haven't seen the show, it's a very sophisticated system, but I'm going to try to boil it down for you this morning. Essentially, you throw away everything that you own, and then you neatly arrange whatever's left over. And several years ago, I actually read the book. Marie Kondo's got a book, Tidying Up, sold millions and millions of copies. It was out years before the Netflix documentary came out. But I loved it, you know. I mean, I now you may ask, like, why in the world, Adam, would you be reading a book like that? And that's a great question. And even as I got into the book, I'm thinking to myself, there's no way that Marie Kondo can help with the chaos in our home. I mean, it is crazy in our house. I mean, if she walked in the front door, I'm thinking she would walk in and go, you know what, I'm taking a vacation day today, I'm not working, and just head right back out. But I started reading the book. I thought maybe it would help us a little bit. And, you know, got through chapter one, I was like, wow, this makes a lot of sense. I could see this. Like, I think I could do this. And then chapter two and chapter three, chapter four, I'm like, yes, like, this makes a lot of sense. I think I can do this. And then I got to the chapter where she tells you to start talking to your socks. And I was like, well, I'll talk to him for a minute if it'll help. And her theory is based on this question of, does it spark joy? So she'll tell you, like, take all your t-shirts and, you know, you take them one by one and you hold them in your hands and you kind of look at them, you feel them, you smell them, and you ask yourself the question, does this spark joy? Now, if the answer to that question is yes, I've got other questions for you. Like, if a t-shirt sparks joy for you, like, what are you doing on the weekends? But nonetheless, this is her mode. And basically, if it doesn't spark joy, then you get rid of it. You donate it or you trash it. So, husbands, if your wife is watching Tidying Up on Netflix, watch out. Because you may be in the kitchen one day, or, you know, you're in the office one day or whatever, and she might walk up to you and just grab you by the arms and start looking at you and smelling you, and in her mind, she's asking the question, does this spark joy? And if it doesn't, then, you know, so watch out. But here's the thing that we all knew. We knew this, but Marie Kondo made it so obvious, and she has made a killing off of this. Here's the principle, that we drag things from our past into our present. We drag things from previous seasons of life, from our past, we drag them into our present, and ultimately it affects our future. And we don't do this intentionally. It's not like we set out to say, oh, I just want to be a hoarder and I just want to keep everything that ever crosses my path. No, this just kind of naturally happens. We do this unintentionally. We tend to hold on to things, don't we? When we hold on to things like furniture, you know, we've got that couch or that love seat that, you know, was really, really cool about 20 years ago, but no one is ever going to use that couch or sofa again, that love seat, but we hold on to it. We do this with our, you know, old technology. Like, we've got cassette tapes that we have saved. Like, we don't even have a cassette tape player, but yet we've held on to our cassette tapes. We do this with clothing, all sorts of clothing. I had a pair of shoes one time that I got a really good deal on. It was a pair of black dress shoes, and I loved them. I thought they looked really cool, and because I got a deal on them, they were just kind of special to me, and I wore them a ton, and eventually the adhesive that was holding the heel to the shoe wore out, which might tell you why I got a good deal on them, because it was adhesive that was holding the heel on, but eventually that gave out, and it started like the heel started dropping down like this, but because the shoe meant so much to me, I wanted to hold on to them. I wanted to keep wearing them. And when I did, it sounded like a horse galloping around every time I, you know, like was walking down the street. Like it just click and it would clop every time I walked down the street. But I don't know what it is for you, but we all have these things that we tend to hold on to. And without even noticing it, these things can begin to weigh on our lives. And they get in the way of our lives. This is the reason why getting rid of the old makes a huge difference. We see this in the show on Netflix. When the couple or the individual, when they walk back into their house and Marie has worked her magic, I mean, they begin weeping. They're blown away by the change that has happened. And even for us, as we watch the show, I mean, we have an emotional response. We're like, like, look at the order. Look at how things have been tidied up. This is amazing. And it's in those moments after things have been tidied up that we realize how much all those other things were just simply dead weight. They weren't contributing anything to life, but yet they were there. They were taking up space, and without us even knowing it, they were getting in the way of us experiencing life. Same thing is true, not just physically, but it's also true with our mindsets. Our perspectives on life, we can drag them from one season of life into another. We do this with our emotions, with baggage that we have from previous seasons of life. We can drag that into our present and into our future. We can do this with our habits as well. Things that we develop in high school or college, we just carry with us. We kind of drag them into our present, and it ultimately affects our future. And this is why getting rid of the old can make such a huge difference. Now, we kicked off this series last week called What's the Difference? And we're talking about the idea that we have this internal evaluator inside of us that's constantly evaluating everything we do in life. And the question it's asking at its core, again, we may not explicitly say this out loud, but what's going on in our brains at the time is we're going, what difference does it make? What's the difference? You know, does this add value to my life? Does this make things run smoother? Does this save me time? Does this help me in relationships? Does this help me with my kids? Does this help me in my career? What's the difference? And if we conclude that it doesn't make any difference, well, we become indifferent towards it. If it doesn't make any difference, we become indifferent towards it. We lose interest. We quit the gym, we cancel the subscription, we delete the app from our phone. If it doesn't make any difference, we become indifferent towards it. Several years ago, I signed up for one of those lawn services that comes out 8 or so times a year and treats your lawn, and it's supposed to prevent weeds from growing and also help your grass be really healthy and you know, beautiful front yard. And I did that for a couple reasons. Number one, like the cost to go to Home Depot and get all the chemicals myself was about the same. And really the main reason I did it was because when I tried it on my own, I ended up burning these large circles into my grass. I mean, it looked like a bunch of UFOs had landed in my front yard or something. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to leave it to the professionals. And so I've been doing this for a couple years and it's worked pretty good so far. And a couple weeks ago, I got in the front yard to play with my sons. And I look out there and we've got these clumps of weed all over the front yard. I'm like, clumps of weeds all over the front yard. I'm like, what? Wait a second. I'm investing money in this service and it's supposed to take care of the weeds in my yard. Yet I'm looking right now and there's weeds all over. So it's like, what difference is it making? That's the question that's running through my mind. And because I'm concluding as I see the plentiful weeds in my front yard, I'm concluding that none, it doesn't make any difference. Because that's the conclusion I'm coming to, what do? Well, I'm thinking about canceling them. Like if nothing changes, then I'm gonna move on. I'm gonna cancel that service and move on. If it doesn't make any difference, we become indifferent towards it. You've experienced this before. If your friend comes up to you and says, hey, you gotta try this. You know, you got to try this out, and you're like, okay, I'll try it out. You download the app, or you join the service, or whatever it is, and you try it for a little bit. If it doesn't work out, if it doesn't make any difference, you quit it, or you delete it, you move on from it, you sell it. This is why there's so many Vitamixes for sale on eBay and on Craigslist. You all know this, and some of us, we are guilty of it, okay? And I may or may not be guilty of this as well, but you're walking down the aisle at Costco, and you come upon the guy doing the Vitamix presentation, and it's just captivating, right? It's like, what? Like, you can make soup in a blender, and it's like hot and fresh, and it's like restaurant quality. This is amazing. And so you end up, you know, you sit there and you watch it for a while, you taste test a couple things, and you're like, I gotta buy this. You buy it, you bring it home. You make like one thing with the Vitamix. And again, your hope is, your thought is, this is gonna help us, it's gonna make meals easier, it's gonna help out the family, we're gonna eat healthier. You use it like one or two times, and then you put it up in a cabinet, and then you don't go into that cabinet for like 6 months, you totally forget about the Vitamix. And then one day you're moving along in the kitchen, you open up, you're like, huh, there's the Vitamix, huh? We have not used that thing one time in 6 months. And so what do? You go find the box and you package it up and you put it on eBay or Craigslist with the title, barely used, you know? Or used one time. Yeah, you kind of try to write the description to make people feel better about buying it. Like, we bought this from Costco, you know, we thought it was gonna work great, but we just don't have the time, or, you know, you put some excuse in there to say, hey, we really only used it one time. And the reason we do this is because, again, if it doesn't make any difference, we become indifferent towards it. We're done with it. We move on. And this is one thing with the latest gadget. It's a different thing when it comes to faith. See, we can ask the same question about faith. What difference does it make? What difference does following Jesus really make? What difference does church make? What difference does me engaging with my faith and being on a journey with my faith make in my life? And if we're constantly asking that question and we begin to conclude that the answer is none, that our faith doesn't make that much of a difference, our relationship with Jesus doesn't make that much of a difference, our church doesn't make much of a difference, well, then we become indifferent towards faith. We begin to drift away. We begin to disconnect. And in doing so, we miss out on the life that we could experience. Jesus said that he came to give us life and life abundantly, or life to the full. And we miss out on that when we drift away from faith. And after all, Jesus didn't show up to just maintain the status quo. Jesus was a difference maker. And so we're taking a few weeks to answer this question: what difference does it make? What's the difference? Last week, we looked at this verse from Paul in Romans. It says, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of what Jesus has done for us, we have peace with God. Our relationship has been defined. We don't have to wonder or worry about where we stand with God. And that makes a huge difference in our lives. And as he continues after this verse, he continues to unpack grace and this love that God has shown us, this grace that God has shown us, and that there's nothing we can do to make God love us more. There's nothing we can do to make God love us less. And inevitably, that leads us oftentimes to ask the question, well, does that mean that we can just kind of live however we want? Does that mean we can do whatever we want? And I imagine that as Paul traveled around the Mediterranean and taught about this idea of God's grace, that he bumped into this question again and again and again. And so in his letter to the Romans, it's as if he knows, as he's teaching about grace, he's like, look, I've seen this before. I know you're gonna ask this question. So he just goes ahead and writes it right in to the text. He says this: what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? I mean, if God's grace continues to increase when our sin increases, that like we can never out-sin God's love. If that's the case, then should we just go on sinning so that God's grace may increase? I mean, if God's grace is this amazing and there's nothing we can do to make him love us less, then can we just do whatever we want? Paul just writes that question in there. He says, hey, I know you're probably gonna ask this, so I wanna answer it for you. And this is what he says. He says, sure, knock yourself out. That's not what he says. He says this. He says, by no means. And there's really not a great translation in the English there. In the original language, he's using really, really strong verbiage to convey this point. By no means. Absolutely not. And then he tells us why. Tells us why by no means you should do this. He says this. Why, we are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? We, meaning the Christians in Rome, the people who have put their faith in Jesus, and you and I today, if we've put our faith in Jesus, if we're following him, he's saying, look, something is different. Something has changed. You have died to sin. I have died to sin. So why would we go on sinning? Why would we go on living in sin? Paul's saying it doesn't make any sense. Another way to think about it is this. Imagine that you have something like this in your closet, and someone just elbowed someone in the auditorium like, you do have something like this in your closet. You know, there was a time when this jacket right here was the bomb. Okay, about 30 years ago, you were a senior in high school. It was senior Sunday. This is what you wore to senior Sunday right here. And seniors in high school, just take a good look, because in about 20 or 30 years, the clothes that you're wearing now that you think are just amazing and cool, they're gonna look like this. And some pastor's gonna be using it as a sermon illustration. So, but let's say you had a jacket like this, and you know, 30 years ago, this jacket, like, it made you feel like $1 million. When you put this thing on and, you know, you went to school, it was like you kind of held your shoulders a little higher. Like, oh yeah, I'm cool. Yeah. You go to the party, you're hanging out, you're listening to Vanilla Ice. Which, you know, we all know he only had one song. It's not really an album. It was just one song that you just play on repeat over and over again. But you're listening to Vanilla Ice and you're like, man, I got this going on. I mean, life could not get better. I got this jacket and I got Vanilla Ice. It is, I mean, things are really looking up for me. But then at some point, it may not have happened overnight, but it may have taken a couple months, may have taken a year. But at some point, you died to this jacket. This jacket went out of style, and not just a little bit out of style, it went like way out of style. But you held on to it. Again, we all have a tendency to do that. You held on to it, and you know, it's somewhere in your closet. You've got it, you know, just kind of stashed away just in case. And all of us in here can do this. We can justify wanting to wear this jacket. You can be like, well, it's a windy day, and you know, this jacket just does a great job of keeping me warm. It's like the perfect temperature jacket, you know? Or we think to ourselves, you know, I'm saving it, I'm keeping it in the closet because I think there may be a day when I can fit in it again. So I'm gonna hold on to it just in case. You know, or we think to ourselves, you know, I might go on a walk and listen to my Def Leppard album on my Walkman, and it would be great if I had this jacket to put on. But the reality is, the moment we put this jacket on today in real time, anyone else around us could see, like, you need to take that jacket off. Like, that jacket, I mean, they may use different words than this, but that jacket would say, they would say, hey, that jacket has died to you. You have died to that jacket. You don't need to live in it any longer. You don't need to wear it any longer. And that's what Paul is saying in this verse. He's saying, we are those who have died to sin. Those of us who have put our faith in Jesus, something has changed inside of us. We've died to our old ways of living. How can we live in it any longer? When we do, it's obvious to everyone around us that, hey, we died to this. That's not you anymore. That's not me anymore. We don't need to live in it any longer. And Paul is is using this truth to say, hey, you need to live as if that's true. You need to live as if it's true that you have died to sin. Now, this is not some mental trick that we do. It's not something that we just believe and then everything takes care of itself. There's actually something we can do with it. And in another one of Paul's letters, his letter to the Ephesians, he unpacks this and he gets really specific about what we can do. And in this passage, he's writing the church in Ephesus and he's talking to them about what they can do individually in order to build up their entire church. He wants them to experience maturity and growth. And he said, hey, it's gonna require everyone doing their part. And there's an individual role for you to play in this. And here's what he says, Ephesians chapter 4. He says, you were taught, meaning last time I visited you or several times ago when I visited you, I taught you these things. You were taught with regard to your former way of life. I love that he uses that word. It's like, hey, reminding them something has changed. There's some things about your life that are now your former life. It no longer defines you. You no longer have to identify with it. It's your former way of life. And with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self. Put it off. Lay it aside. Purge. Get rid of it. Even though it's dead, we still need to do something with it. Even though you have died to sin, there's still something that you and I can do. There is a process of putting off the old. And what is it, Paul, that you want us to put off exactly? Well, he would say, whatever belongs to your old self, whatever belongs to your former way of doing things before you met Jesus and he began to shape your mind and shape your worldview and shape the way you see things, whatever that is for you, and it's different for all of us, it's gonna be unique to all of us. I imagine if you had just a second, you'd be able to think about what it is for you. But whatever it is, Paul's saying, look, getting rid of the old makes a huge difference. It makes a huge difference. Why? It says this, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. This word corrupted here means to be in the ongoing process of being spoiled or rotten. It's in the ongoing process of being ruined. The ongoing process of being destroyed. It's not just that it is destroyed, but it's that it's being destroyed. And the thing that's corrupting it, the thing that's destroying it, is its deceitful desires. We've all experienced it at some point, haven't we? That we get tricked into thinking that we want something. And like we're sitting there like in one moment, like desiring something, but at the very same time knowing, wait a second, I know this is not good for me. I know this is not something I should do, but yet I want to do it. I desire to do it. And that's what Paul would say is, hey, that's your old self. And it's being corrupted. It's being destroyed because of its deceitful desires. And so, it's actually even worse than it looks. It's not just that the jacket is out of style. It's that the jacket is actually rotting. It's that the jacket is spoiled. And it's in the process of being spoiled. It's as if you stuffed, you know, some yogurt containers, maybe an old banana peel, maybe opened a carton of milk when you were a senior in high school in the school cafeteria and stuffed it down into that pocket. And then every year or two, you'd pull it out of the closet and kind of dip it in water and get it really wet and stick it back in there. And it would just mold and mildew and destroy. It would be destroyed. It'd be rotten. It'd be spoiled. And that's what Paul is saying about our old self. That when the old self hangs on us, it not only have we died to it and it no longer fits us and it's no longer in style, it actually is corrupting us. It's destroying us. It ruins our lives. It causes us to be in the process of rotting and decomposing. It prevents us from living the life that we want to live. What ultimately gets destroyed when we don't put off the old is us. Our old self gets destroyed. Our old self destroys us as long as we hold on to it. And that's why Paul is saying you need to put it off. The language he's using is actually language they would use in the first century to say, hey, putting on a garment or putting off a garment. He's saying you need to physically, you need to take it off. You need to lay it aside. You need to get rid of it. And the beautiful thing is that as we follow Jesus in our lives, as we fix our eyes on him and pursue what he wants for our lives, he helps us put off our old self. The journey that we take with him requires it. And it also enables us to do that. Our family loves to hike Sawney Mountain. If you've never been to the top of it, it's an amazing view up at the top. It's hard to believe that right here in our backyard, we've got that beautiful of a view just a few minutes away. And typically when we go, we take the short trail with our four little guys because 20 minutes is way better than like an hour and 20 minutes on the trail. And we go 20 minutes up, we spend about 20 minutes up there, and then it's about 20 minutes down, which means our kids have to eat about 3 to 4 times in that entire experience. And so we use a book bag and we fill it with waters and snacks because our enjoyment of this experience is gonna be directly related to how recently they have eaten. So we just go ahead and plan for it on the front end. And it never fails. We get over there, we park the car, I grab the book bag and I throw it on my back. And I mean, immediately I'm like, what is in this book bag? I mean, the thing feels like it weighs 60 pounds. I'm like, did one of the kids climb into this book bag? And then we make the hike and you know, it's only an hour, so it's easy just to kind of, you know what, I'm gonna press through, we can make it happen, it's all good, it's gonna create great memories for the family. And so I can tough it out and carry that big bag. But you contrast that with several years ago, I talked to a friend of mine that had thru-hiked the Appalachian Trail. It's 2,200 miles almost from Georgia to Maine, all through the woods, through mountains. And he thru-hiked it, meaning he never stopped. He started in Georgia, never took a break, went all the way to Maine. Takes about 5 to 7 months, depending on how fast you hike. And so I was just fascinated by this. I was like, this is amazing. I mean, it's kind of on my bucket list, probably the bucket list of things that I'll never do. But nonetheless, it's on the bucket list. So I'm asking him all these questions. And specifically, I wanted to know like gear, like how do you, like what do you take with you? How do you just survive in the woods for days on end? And he said, you know, what's interesting is my pack started at about 50 pounds when I left Georgia. But through the first couple weeks, through the first month or so, you're constantly seeing what you really need versus things that are just nice to have or maybe you don't really need. And so after a few weeks, maybe a month in, he said his pack was down to about 35 pounds. And he said, you limit it to only the things that are gonna help keep you alive and help keep you comfortable. So it's stuff to deal with sleep, stuff dealing with what you eat or drink, and stuff to protect you against the elements. Basically, outside of that, everything else you gotta get rid of. And as I was thinking about that, I was like, you know what? That's such a great picture of what happens when we follow Jesus in our lives. As we follow him, as we engage in the things that he calls us to engage with, we will begin to notice the things in our lives that aren't adding value. The things in our lives that are not leading us in the direction we wanna go. The things that are downright harmful to us or to the people around us. And then we begin to set those things aside. See, we ask, what difference does it make? Well, following Jesus will eventually lead you to get rid of some things. Following Jesus will eventually lead you to get rid of some things. As we follow him, we bump into things. We see, oh wow, that, you know, this is not helping my marriage. This is not helping our dynamic. I need to get rid of it. Oh, this is not helping my parenting. It's not helping my relationship with my kids. And so we set it aside. Or as we follow Jesus, we see, okay, this is something that's hindering me in my career and my influence at work. And so I've got a decision to make. Am I going to set it aside? Or am I going to continue to let it affect me? Now, it's not immediate. You know, if you're new to Christianity, if you're new to faith, you may think, gosh, I got to immediately get rid of everything in my life. I've got to know, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. It doesn't always happen that way. And even those of us in here who have been a Christian or been following Jesus for 20, 30, 40 years of our lives, we still bump into things in our lives where we go, oh, there's part of my old self. There's something else that I need to get rid of. There's something else that I need to put off. See, as you follow Jesus, you become more aware of the dead weight in your life. You become more aware of those things that are hurting you or hurting those around you. So here's a personal question for you today. There's no judgment, no shame in this question. It's not about that. It's not about judgment. It's not about shame. This is about experiencing the difference that Jesus came to make in your life. Here's the question. What in your life needs to go? What in your life needs to go? What in your life would you say, if you're being honest, yeah, that's a part of my former life. That's a part of my old self. And I need to let go of it. What is it for you? Maybe it's anger. Maybe you've got this anger thing that started years ago. In fact, you can't really remember a time where this didn't crop up in your life. And you've justified it or explained it away by just going, I've got a short fuse, you know? Just like my dad and just like my granddad. And we kind of say, hey, it's just a heredity thing. But that anger is part of your old self. And that if your wife were talking about it, if your kids were talking about it, if somebody that was close to you was talking about it, they'd say, yeah, it's obvious. It's part of your old self. You need to put it off. Maybe it's bitterness. It's some sort of resentment. Someone hurt you in a previous season of life and you've never dealt with it. You've never let it go. And now you continue to hold this resentment, this bitterness towards them, or maybe towards a group of people, or maybe just towards life in general. And you realize that that's suffocating your life every single day. You need to let it go. Paul would say, put it off. Maybe it's jealousy. That there's just something in you that when you see what other people have, what other people are experiencing, even if it's not all that great, there's just something in you that wants it. You open up social media and you see what they're driving and you see how they're living and you see what their kids are doing and what their family's doing and what they're wearing. And in you, if you're honest, you would say it's almost a daily thing where this jealousy, this envy, wanting what other people have rises up in you. It's part of the old you. You need to put it off. Maybe it's a habit of some sort. You know, it's a habit that you brought from a previous season of life. In high school or college, you developed this habit. You've never been able to break it. Maybe it's a public habit. People know about it. Maybe it's a secret. Maybe you're the only one that knows about it. But it is dead weight. And it is affecting you. And it's affecting those around you. And it may not be for a couple years. It may not be for 5 or 10 years, but at some point that habit's gonna catch up to you. And it's gonna cause destruction in your life and in the lives of those around you. You need to put it off. What is it for you today? What in your life needs to go? And once you get clarity on that, then the next question to ask is how long do you plan to hold on to it? Once you see the old self that's still holding on to you, you gotta ask yourself, how long are you gonna hold on to it? How long are you gonna let it hold on to you? How long are you gonna let it hold you back? Paul's encouragement to you today would be, hey, we have died to sin. We've died to that old way of living. Why would we live in it any longer? So follow Jesus. Put your eyes on him. Pursue him. Pray and ask him, God, what in my life is dead weight and holding me back? And then when he shows you what it is, put it off. And then you'll experience the freedom in the life that he has for you. The impact that you could have on your family, on your spouse, on those at work, and the world around you. And that will make a huge difference. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, for all of us in here, Christian or non-Christian, God, we have things in our lives that we know don't fit anymore. We know that they're not adding value. We know that they're just something that we have dragged from our past into our present, and it's holding us back. God, would you help us see those things clearly and decide every day that we are gonna put those things off? And for those of us that are following you, God, I pray that we would engage in the journey that you have put in front of us. And that as we pursue you more and more in life, God, that you would lead us to put off the old self that's nothing but dead weight in our lives. God, let us do this and let us experience the freedom in life that we could have in you on the other side of it. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.